Blog Talk Radio.
And we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I thank God for the words and the inspiration of that song, because falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I have ever done. That is my testimony. And in his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, I never feel disconnected. And there's no other place that I'd rather be. And I believe that there's a lot of witnesses out there today that feel the same way that I feel. But I want you to know today, there's no other place that we should want to be but in the arm of Jesus, to be knowing in him, knowing that he is our all and all. Yes, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. And today we want to thank God for you, our radio audience, for once again joining us in 2013, again, so that God can do great and mighty things in all our lives. On the past week and the first of the year, we have been talking about loneliness. And the Lord really blessed, and I'm quite sure those that was in our audience on last Monday, I'm quite sure that you were blessed as we discussed the effects of loneliness. I'll just talk about the loneliness. And we want to be able today to bring it to the forefront and to give you a foresight as to what we did on last week, as well as to finalize the topic, loneliness. There are many lonely people that in our world today, they need not feel alone, but if they just could know that Jesus Christ is with them, that he will never leave them nor forsake them. I would like to just take this opportunity to introduce to you the panel for the Crossroad broadcast. They are as following: Dr. Gloria Castor, Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, and Dr. June Normill. And we just thank God for the women of God that God has blessed and that God is using in this day at this hour. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Why don't you come in? Why don't you go with us? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do, God, according to your word. We thank you, God, that that word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we pray, God, for every individual, every family member, those that are listening to this broadcast at today and any time that you're going to be listening to this broadcast. Lord, I ask thee, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as every topic go forth, God, give them the understanding. God, bring deliverance in their lives. God, cause it to be made plain. Cause them, Father God, to be able to go and to evangelize and be able to tell others about you through this word of God. Lord, we ask thee, Lord God, we bind our loneliness, Lord. Either, God, we bind our guilt, God, in the name of Jesus, and any other thing, God, that they may have in their heart, God, that they'll know that you are God. And, Lord, even as we begin the new topic of alcoholism, God, Lord, even those that are suffering with alcohol, Lord, I pray, God, even now, God, that they, God, in the name of Jesus, will be delivered and that they will be free. And, God, that they'll know, God, the causes of those that are not even partaking, but those, God, that are anticipating, or those, God, that are interested in of alcoholism, Father. I ask you, Lord, to let them listen today, that they will be able to find out through the counselors what is the cause of the alcoholism and what is the effect. And Lord, I give you praise, Lord, even now, in Jesus' name, for what you are about to do. At this time, we're getting ready again to go into our discussion on loneliness. And I'd like to to tell our radio audience again, you are listening to the Crossroad broadcast. At this time, we're getting ready to welcome Dr. Gloria Kastner to the Crossroad broadcast as she comes and as she gives us insight on the effectiveness, on the effects of loneliness and preventing loneliness. We would like to thank God for her as she comes on today.
Good afternoon. It is a pleasure and an honor to be able to come to you today to Dr. McCoy and radio panel and the radio audience. I am truly excited about bringing the effects of loneliness and then summing up with preventing loneliness, because loneliness can become a situation that can become very serious. And so that's something that you would want to kind of up front deal with that before it gets too much out of hand. And when we speak of the effect of loneliness, the question is, what does loneliness do to people? You know, that's something we need to kind of think about, too. What does it really do to people? And then what are the symptoms? Because a lot of times we might have family members or friends who, as we said last week, you know, the young lady had all kind of things going on for her, but yet she was still lonely. So the thing about it is, what are the symptoms and how can it be spotted? Because human uniqueness, each person will show loneliness in different ways. And some people that we might think are lonely, they're happy with the way they are. They're not really lonely. They're just people that don't care about being in a lot of company. And that's their temperament. That's what they like to do. So it's not anything that would cause them to be unhealthy in loneliness. I guess I could say it that way. Perhaps the most obvious indication of loneliness is isolation from people, often accompanied by periodic but futile attempts to reach out to others. And then, you know, some people, it's kind of hard for them to reach out to others with being lonely, with being quiet, being laid back. And we find that a lot of times in some youth, they can't really express themselves the way that they should, so they kind of like hold back and then fall back into a period of loneliness. Remember, however, that many loners, like older people, singles, and others who live by themselves are not lonely, even though they appear to have a little contact with others. They're happy the way they are. Now, low self-esteem and feelings of worthlessness can be symptoms as well as cause of loneliness. Failure in relationships or in activities can lower self-esteem and lead to greater loneliness. Unable to relate to others as they would like, you know, maybe me or a family member, unable to relate to others. It's just something that it's hard for them to do. Now, a poor little me attitude, a belief that nobody understands, and a conviction that things will never get better is things that lonely people sometimes withdraw and are self-centered by thinking these things about themselves. Depression is also common, and we spoke about depression further back. Some chronically lonely people are not depressed, and some depressed people are not lonely, but many are both. Lonely people sometimes have a hopelessness that can lead to despair and even thoughts of suicide. That can be very serious. And then a lot of times, you know, people have suicidal tendencies, and they might make different attempts and are not successful. But those are people that you have to watch. Sometimes suicide people, when lonely and really great loneliness, become a way out for them. They might also give a clear message to the people they don't even seem to care about themselves, and that poor me thing again, nobody cares about me. In contrast, some people resort to exhibitors' behavior, like becoming the class clown. They're trying to get attention. They might wear clothes that are not, you know, outlandish clothes that is likely to be noticed, or acting in attention getting better ways. A few covers their loneliness by workaholic behaviors, and they just work all the times, and they too don't recognize that that's a way to kind of smooth over their loneliness. It's a workaholic, and frequent traveling or accumulating possessions. Now, alcoholism and drug abuse are also ways to escape. Some people turn to these in an attempt to find friends among other drinkers, or a dull pain of becoming lonely. And that's something that we're going to speak of a little further in the program today. Sometimes the loneliness is expressed physically. Evidence suggests that lonely people are more likely to suffer from physical problems, such as heart disease or high blood pressure. Now, why is that? Because you're just worrying, you're just going through all kind of things, and, you know, high blood pressure can trigger heart disease or even kidney problems. So to worry and to suffer and to cause have all of these physical problems can cause, the loneliness can cause physical problems that can cause other things that can happen to you. There is not convincing evidence that stress, including the stress of loneliness, affects the immune system and reduces the body's ability to resist disease. I mean, it's just imagine how all of these things can cause all kind of problems to come against your body. And I think a lot of times we don't even realize our body is created unique in the image of God, but we can damage our body by having all of these other kind of things going on instead of totally trusting God, give it to God, and believe that whatever the situation is, even loneliness, if you go to God, he can keep you happy. He said those whose mind is stayed on him, he said he'll keep you in perfect peace. So the perfect peace can only come from God. Like most of the problems discussed, loneliness can sometimes be hidden from the casual observers, but it influences the body and sometimes shows itself through physical illness. So loneliness is not really anything that can cause happiness in our lives. We need to begin to recognize it, hopefully, and can bring ourselves out of that situation. Now, preventing loneliness, there are several ways by which the cause of loneliness can be attacked and the experience of loneliness be reduced. Strengthening the local church, the local congregation can and should be the antidote to loneliness. To prevent loneliness, people should be encouraged to worship in the church, to participate in church activities, and accept the fellowship of church members. Although some Bible study or spiritual groups inform of potluck church sponsors, weekdays or community projects, group attendance at social participation, they don't always kind of, you know, pick up on people's loneliness. Regretfully, for not all church members are open to receiving new people, which they should be. Because once you become a member and once you become into that church, you become a part of the body of Christ. And that is the responsibility that we are to embrace you and be able to help you to walk through those things. But like I said, not everybody can pick up loneliness. In preventing loneliness, therefore, the church leaders must stimulate individuals to involve them with church and must stimulate church membership to love, support, accept, forgive, care for each other, and welcome each other individually. Now, coping with change can be hard for some people because, you know, you're into a new group and things have changed for you. But in a book on loneliness published several years ago by Ralph Keyes, wrote that most of us want a sense of community with others, but there are three things that we want more: is privacy, convenience, and the freedom to move. Regretfully, these are the three values that are most likely to prevent community closeness. I'm sorry. It is possible to be people-centered and intimate with others in the age that is more your age group or in computer technology, different types of jobs sometimes, even though I said the young lady last week had a problem, can kind of get you pulled in, because when you're working with someone else in a group, that kind of gives you the confidence that you need to be able to interject and be able to say more things that you normally wouldn't say if you were doing it by yourself. Building self-esteem and competency, loneliness, as we have seen, sometimes arise because people are self-defeating in their attitude or action, immobilizing by a poor self-concept or lacking in effect of social skills. But when you can get into the group and you can put what you have to put in there, and I think a lot of times, even in different classes, the teacher or the instructor or the professor will set up different groups so that you can. And it would be a benefit for people who are loners, who wouldn't normally reach out to try to get that help in that group. And that, too, can help you to be able to relate in that group and not be a loner. There are things that can be taught in churches, like school counselors' office and through seminars, sermon book, articles, and tape. Probably this teaching is most effective if it can be stated and practiced in the home. But if you're a loner, that's something that you might not do. So stimulating spiritual growth, loneliness is reduced or prevented when individuals are helped to build intimate relationship with God as well as with other humans. As people are enabled to understand their gifts and connect with the deep purpose of God for them, loneliness will be swallowed up in life of giving and loving, and emptiness will be filled with meaning. Helping people to grow spiritually, therefore, become a significant way to prevent loneliness. Now, when we think of loneliness, we have to, and it's saying that you get into God, we need to know the scriptures that God gives us in love. And one of the first ones, it says, for John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then Romans 5:8 said, but God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the love of God, when we began to put our trust in God, no matter how we feel, no matter whether we're lonely or not, God is the one who can fill that void, and the only one that can fill that void is God. So when you feel lonely, you need to seek God's direction. You need to know that he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. That means in loneliness, you're still not alone, because you'll never be alone as long as he's with you. Now, most of us live in what appears to be a lonely, productive society, and rapid change in modern technology discourage intimacy and stimulate loneliness. Even in homes and churches, people avoid each other. In an attempt to find closeness and escape interference and isolation, many individuals throw themselves blindly into opening, sharing with strangers, like casual sexual partners, fellow drinkers, or seatmates on airplanes. Caring relationship with others will help us to remove loneliness, especially when individuals can be free of hostility, poor self-esteem, social incompetence, and personal insecurity. But enter self-confidence and human togetherness in themselves will not give a permanent solution to loneliness problems. We need to help people develop intimate relationship with God. We need to help them build strong involvement with at least a few people including family members, where they can be mutual openness, acceptance, and respect for each other's uniqueness. The only solution that we can start out with is putting God first. And he said in Matthew 6:33 that if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these things would be added unto us. So the way that we are to conclude or the way we are to accept ourselves and be able to change from loneliness into a spirit of joy, because he said the joy of the Lord is our strength, and he's given us joy. Joy comes from him. Peace comes from him. The only way you can have perfect peace and perfect joy is to put your trust in God and to seek his direction and guidance and understand that there are things that we do not understand. But he said, lean not toward our own understanding, but in all of our ways, Proverbs 3:5-6, if we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not toward our own understanding, in all of our ways, if we acknowledge him, he will direct our path. He will give us a heart to love him and a heart to not feel lonely, because with him, you're never alone. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Castor. We thank God today because we believe that this topic on loneliness is one of the topics that need to be addressed, and that there are people that we're speaking for them. We're speaking for God. We want you that are listening, that may belong to a local church, and there are people that come into the congregation, even as Dr. Castor have already indicated, sometimes the people in the congregation are not accepted to newcomers. But when the Lord welcomed us in, I believe the word of God said it was the angels in heaven rejoiced when we got saved. When the people come in the congregation, we have to let the love of God be spread abroad, that we ought to be able to love them. There are many times that people will not go up to another person, and they will not show themselves friendly because sometimes they're waiting for other people to come to say something to them. But let us change that, whether they're new or whether they've been there for 2 or 3 months, whether they've been there 3 or 4 years, we should be able to show our love, because we never know what's going on in a person's heart and also the loneliness that they could be experiencing. Sometimes there are people that are in a crowd, but yet they are still lonely. So therefore, we want to be able to let you know today that as a church, we can be that best antidote for loneliness to people that are coming to our churches and the people that we meet on our jobs and so forth. So I pray, God, that even in this discussion through the Christian Council on Loneliness, that you truly have been blessed. We're going to go to our next topic for this week, which will be on alcoholism. And we want you to listen very careful. We want you to call your neighbor, call your friend, or tell someone. Maybe you want to jot down some notes, and so that you can have a refresher. You can be able to share with somebody else, because this is very important. There's many people that is alcoholics. Some people are moving in that direction of being an alcoholic, and we want to be able to help them. So why don't you help me to welcome to the Crossroads broadcast Dr. Rosemary Lucio, as she comes and she talks to us about the causes of alcoholism. Dr. Rosemary Lucio.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. It's a pleasure to be with you today, and I give honor to God, who's the head of my life. Thank God for another day. I give greetings to the radio audience, and I also give greetings to the radio panel. My topic this afternoon or evening is the cause of alcoholism. Ephesians 5:17-18 says, Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the law of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We must realize that alcoholism or being an alcoholic, alcoholism does not respect anyone. It does not respect age. It does not respect gender. And it does not respect races. Ephesians 5:17 through 18 reveals to the believer or unbeliever what is the Lord's will. In Ephesians 5:18, it declares the decree that that believers are to refrain from, hold oneself back, do not indulge oneself into any form of alcoholic beverages. God's reason for this law or decree that forbid alcoholism is the words wherein excess. Wherein excess means that alcoholism produces and causes drunkenness. Drunkenness is a behavior that exceeds proper or lawful bounds. And the behavior that exceeds proper or lawful bounds are brawling and fighting, hit and run with a car, vehicular homicide, spousal abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse, and much more. The end results of drunkenness leads to immoral behaviors, which may be but not limited to evil purposes, evil influences, cheating, which is dishonorable, whether you're cheating at home or in the marketplace or any type of form of cheating, wickedness, which is morally bad in principle and practices. Alcoholism or being an alcoholic is not sanctioned or ordained by God. Alcoholism controls a person's walk. Alcoholism controls a person's talk. It controls a person's physical posture, and it also controls a person's health. And how does it control a person's health? Because sometimes a person will be sick, and this may even lead to death. So the Word of God knows, we know that we are not supposed to put old wine into a new vessel. The Holy Ghost, the God, sent us another comforter to lead and guide his people into all truth. We are to allow the Holy Ghost to control our walk, our talk, our physical posture, and help us with our health issues that will give us life. It has been said, a drunken man speaks a sober heart or thoughts. The Word of God says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are supposed to speak what God says. So our question tonight is, what causes alcoholism? A group of experts from Europe, Australia, North America, and Southeast Asia gathered in Bangalore, India, to discuss a Christian response to alcohol and drug problems. They came to an agreement that alcoholism is not limited to any one part of the world. So we know that alcoholism is all over the world, and because of that dreaded disease, it has destroyed and killed many lives. So we know that it's not limited in it one part of the world, and neither is it a problem of recent origin. It is nothing new. The Word of God said there is nothing new under the sun. So we know that alcoholism happened even in the Old Testament. We see that with Noah. When Noah got drunk, his son Ham saw his nakedness, and because he didn't cover his father, God cursed his son Canaan. We also see we also have another incident when another Old Testament person got drunk, and his name was Lot. And Lot's daughters got him drunk. They gave him wine, and that was a and then they had an incestuous relationship with their father, which resulted in Ammon and Moab, and Ammon and Moab became the enemies of Israel, which made them the enemies of God. There is no one cause or reason for alcoholism, but today I will discuss a few causes. The first cause I will discuss will be physiology and heredity. It has been researched that when the children of alcoholic parents are compared to children of non-alcoholic parents, the children, the sons and the daughters of the alcoholics are more likely to become alcoholics when they are grown up. If the parents or grandparents were addicted to alcohol, the chances are strong that the son or daughter may or will be vulnerable to this dreaded disease. We must know that alcoholism is the scheme, alcoholism is the plan, alcoholism is the trick of our arch enemy, Satan himself. Only God can break this curse from our family. The anointing of God says that he will break and destroy the yokes. So another cause of alcoholism is environmental influence. At the present time, over 7 million Americans below the age of 18 live in alcoholic homes. These children are known as COA. And COA means children of alcoholics. These children will eventually join the over 21 million adult children of alcoholism, which is known as ACOA. Many of the ACOA adult children of alcoholics go through life with emotional scars of their early years in an alcoholic home, in an alcoholic family. The scars of children, a COA or an ACOA, the children become adults too soon. They act mature at a young age, and sometimes people label them as being grown. The children become super children. They feel like they are responsible for running the family. They feed their parents while constantly living in fear of their parents. So another scar is the children feel guilty because they cannot save their parents. Another scar is these children have a very poor self-image with low self-esteem. Also, the children feel that it's impossible for them to have satisfactory relationships. Sometimes they don't have good interpersonal relationship skills. They also mistrust people. That is a scar. They accept the unacceptable behavior from others. They're always the victim. If it wasn't for me, it wouldn't have happened to me. They are in a system. They have a victimization disorder. ACOAs or adult children of alcoholics are often insecure. They are self-condemning, and they are afraid of intimacy. Also, in the environmental influence calls, we have the cultural expectation. what society expects. We have seen how alcohol is legal, how alcohol is readily available, and drinking is sociably accepted. Teenagers and college students, they drinking is winked at as a sign of growing up. Their drunkenness or getting high becomes the topic of television and cocktails hours as jokes. You know, just get high, it's all right. Getting high is often the end thing to do in our society. Another cause of alcoholism is our present stress, the stress that's in our lives. Some people use alcohol to block pain in their life. Drinking alcohol may be used as a coping device. They can't get up in the morning without alcohol. They can't work during the day without alcohol. They can't deal with the everyday situation. They have to go to bed with alcohol. And there are certain stress hormones that may contribute to alcoholic abuse, which is the disease. Alcoholism also began in the stressful teenage years. A person may like their own self. That's a trigger for alcoholism. Or they may dislike others. They may not like anyone. They may feel inadequate, that they can't get the job done. They may experience anxiety. They may experience fears and guilt and disappointment. They may even experience insecurity at home, at the marketplace, and at school, and at social gatherings. Stress may come from sin, and a lot of people get stressed, and they participate in alcoholism by watching over 100,000 television commercials regarding the joys of drinking beer and enjoying other alcoholic beverages with other enticing methods of destruction. Another stress factor is when alcohol is withdrawn, then sickness will occur with severe withdrawal symptoms, which includes disorientation, hallucination, seizures, delirium tremens, known as the shaking frenzy, known as the horrors, and also known as the DTs. Human beings have an inner need for a real and genuine growing relationship with God. When this craving for God is denied, unrecognized, and unfulfilled, there is a search for something else that will fill the vacuum. Many people grow up in homes where there is a spiritual void of God's love. The way to alcohol addiction can be made from low self-esteem, trying to fit in with friends who also may enable the alcoholic to continue. As believers and unbelievers, we must truly trust God. We must trust God to help us, to deliver us, to save us, and to heal us. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, "He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Rosemary Lucio as she came and she talked to us about alcoholism. As you can see, it's so important that we don't allow ourselves to be drawn in by alcoholism, by drinking things like wine. She's already given us some of these people, like even in the scripture that was led astray because of the things that they did. One of the people she talked about was Lot's daughters, and how incest had taken place when they began. They had their father to drink the wine, and so we see so many things in the Word of God that will help us if we allow it to. And if you have a problem with alcoholism, or you know someone, I'm sure that this show will help you to help someone, to help yourself, to help your family member, so that they can overcome alcoholism, and to let you know how it's important that you don't engage in using it. So what we want to do is to go to the effects of alcoholism. And we want to go to Dr. June Norneal. She's going to come, and she's going to tell us about the effects of alcoholism. Dr. June Norneal.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Give an honor to God, first and foremost, for giving me the opportunity to come before you today. I also give greetings to the radio panel and to everyone in radio land to hear the sound of my voice. I give you greetings where you are today. My topic is the effects of alcoholism. And talking about the effects of alcoholism, I have a question. How many times have you heard about the consequences of alcoholism? We talk about it every day. We read in the paper. We see on the news that how somebody has been under the influence of alcohol and it has been able to take lives from innocent people, and even the person who is doing alcohol. Drunk driving, habitual driving, drinking under the influence. Don't drink and drive. Alcoholism is a killer. And as we know, that it is one of the most effective diseases, and it's very serious. And many people, they get used to drinking alcohol, and they can easily become used to it when they get in the mode of feeling relaxed. And that causes them to be an abuser, and they can repeatedly and habitually do that. And that is the problem. And we know that excessive use of alcohol, it doesn't affect everyone the same way. I know someone, they constantly drink. They don't even drink water. They drink beer all the time. They drink that for their liquid antidote for what they need in their body, and they don't even stagger. I never seen them stagger. They don't even stutter in their words. But I know after doing research on this topic that they have suffered other effects in their natural body that is not exposed on the outside that is damaging them on the inside. Amen. And we know that, you know, some people, you could tell when they drink, you know, everybody's different. Sometimes they could get one sip of some alcohol, and you could tell they are under the influence. They may start talking a certain way. They may start being nice. They may be kind. Because of the person, everybody's body is different. It affects people different, and they display different behaviors. Some people become angry and violent. Some people become nice and calm and lovable. Some people become quiet and calm. It affects different ways. But I'm going to tell you some of the effects that drinking alcohol will do to a person. The first one I'm going to talk about is the physical effects. Whenever a chemical substance is taken into the body, talking about alcohol, there will be a physiological reaction. The nature of this reaction depends on the physical condition of the person. Like we said before, everybody is different, and everybody's intake is different, but everybody will display some kind of behavior, negative behavior, that would affect the individual that is drinking, and also the people around them is able to see what is going on. And alcohol is a toxin, it's a poison that affects most body cells. If taken rapidly, the alcohol content of the blood rises. The brain functioning is impaired temporarily, and the drinker's balance, motor skills, thinking, and emotional response are influenced. Have you ever seen somebody you could tell they don't been under influence of drinking alcohol, or some kind of substance abuse, and they get to walking, they staggering, they falling all over the way, they stumbling, they can't get their words together, and their mind is impaired. They're not competent in what they're doing, the way they're seeing or thinking. That's a sign of alcohol is breaking down some kind of content in the way in the body. And it also, not only that, it causes liver cells to be destroyed, your liver. And the organ is not longer able to process the nutrients of food. And you ever hear that also causes brain damages. Heavy alcohol use can also permanently damage your brain and the nervous system. And it leads to numerous gastrointestinal diseases. It just do all kind of things to your body, alcoholism, drinking alcohol. It causes people to have strokes. It causes people to have heart attacks. It also it causes stomach problems, even in the colon. And it also causes breast cancer to happen. Because of these physical aspects of addiction, medical intervention is a crucial part of treatment. And you see people that is addicted to alcohol, and they continue to go on without even getting any treatment. But then every day that they're using alcohol, it is affecting themselves and also the people around them. And another effect is physiological, social effects about the people all around them and also themselves. It causes people to have dull thinking, inappropriate behavior. You see sometimes people be all out of order, just cursing and acting in ways that could cause you to be shamed, cause themselves to be shamed. Even family members, when they have someone or people close to you is an alcoholic and they out in public and they getting in the way and saying things that could cause embarrassment. And that's what happens when a person is under influence of alcohol and you be around them. It causes the social life to just be disturbed. And sometimes it's because of that reason, you be shameful. A person don't even want to just go out in public with a person who is drinking, using drink excessively. And then they get to the point that also it's so bad to a person that is using alcohol, they get to the point of denial, that their brain and their mind is so impaired that they can't even see the effects. They can't even see the damage that is taking place on them. Then they deny that a problem is even happening. And also, when they do, the ones that does see the effect, they have a tendency of blaming someone else. And I'm talking about the ones that's not even going to receive treatment or some kind of intervention because of this disease. And that's what alcoholism is. It's a disease. There's nothing cute about it. And it's a curse. It's a spirit straight from hell. And a lot of times, even being in church, a lot of people want to accept and say it's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. But the Bible don't talk about that. I know it's a lot of things he's going to talk about. Jesus drank wine at the wedding. He turned water into wine. But you know where in the Bible you're going to see that Jesus, he drank fermented wine anyway. That's a whole other topic. Where nowhere in the Bible did you see when Jesus was drinking wine, alcohol, that it caused him to act unseemly. So that's a lot of times the trick of the devil that people want to have be accepted or drinking alcohol. And another effect that it have is family effect. Like we said, just bring on shame and embarrassment of a loved one or a person close to you that is under the influence of alcohol. Even sometimes you try to even just hide alcohol, people can just smell it on your breath. They can just start see it in your eyes. And another thing about it, even when you know within yourself that that's a problem, because if you actually drinking alcohol and you try to hide it or cover up in defense, that means automatically you know something wrong with it. Why hide or put something in the dark that you know what is right? So, but it's always help. God is our help in times of trouble, and God is our deliverer. He able to deliver you out of that situation of being an alcoholic, just like he was able to deliver each and every one of us out of our sin and save us. The alcohol is no exception. That's not a sin. That's not a problem too hard for God that he can't deliver out of. So it's always help. And another effect is spiritual effect. It says it is impossible to grow spiritually when one is dependent on and controlled by a drug. A lot of times people, even in the church, where we're talking about church people, right now they're talking about the spiritual effect. And a lot of times people use that for excuse to drink alcohol. They say it calms me down. It soothes me. It caused me to be able to think. It caused me to be able to meditate. But even that is not acceptable to God, because it is not acceptable to your body, which is the temple of God. It's destroying the body of God, because you're body of Christ. Many alcoholics know this, but they seem powerless to change. As a result, there is a great alienation from God. And a lot of times people be so condemned and they feel so convicted that they can't even just pull themselves out of that. They be in a situation that they're so embarrassed. They feel so bad about what they're doing, and they don't have the power to just pull themselves out of it. God is not condemning you as an individual because of that situation. If he's able to deliver you, he want to help you. He just don't like the sin, and he just don't like what it's doing to your body just as well as you doesn't like it. They say alcohol becomes an idol or worship, a thing that matters the most. And we know that anything we put before God, that has been made an idol. And God said he have no idol, nothing before him. This can have adverse spiritual influence on the family. Although some families appear to draw closer to God during their time of crisis. And a lot of times, and even that's true, because a lot of times when family members or even the individual may be going through a bad crisis, such as alcoholism, that caused a lot of bad things that derive from that, such as losing job, losing and breaking relationship, that caused you to go to God, because it's unfortunate. A lot of times people get in a situation that they go to God as their last hope and their last help. But I feel that as long as you got to God, when you had a chance, that's answer, that's salvation, that is deliverance right there. And I don't know if I'm having time to complete this topic, because I'm going to go into prevention alcoholism, but I'm going to that next week. But I'm going to close out also talking about the effects of alcoholism. And it's, even in the church, you go, you know, talk to your pastors, whoever, the clergy members, talk to sisters and brothers who will give you encouragement. You know, a lot of times we be shamed about a lot of things. We be saved, you still saved, but we need deliverance in a lot of situations. And God is sending you in your church to get deliverance. And then I'm telling you, and I'm going to leave you with this scripture. It say Proverbs 20:1, say, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And I'm telling you, in this song we just sang, say, you don't need no wine, you don't need no weed, you don't need no coke, you need the Holy Ghost. And we talk about the spiritual faith. You be filled with the Spirit of God. There's no way in the world you're going to be filled up with no alcohol. But a lot of times people use that in place because there's a voidness. But you be filled with the Spirit of God, God will clean you up. He will dress you. He will fill you up with his blood, with his love. And you will have a better life than ever before. But those are just some of the effects that alcohol will do to a person. It will damage you physically. It will damage you financially. A lot of times people don't even pay bills. It affects the household. It causes social relationships to break up because people are not able to manage and carry their households like they're supposed to, even the mother and the father. It affects children. They see what's going on. It's like a habit. They see the parents or the guardians that drink alcohol, and they subject to doing the same thing. It's like a coping mechanism. But we know that it's not the way it's supposed to be, and that's just not the way it is. But I love you, and God bless you, and there is hope in Jesus. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank our panelists today. We wish to thank Dr. June Narmil for talking about the effects of alcoholism, how important that is to our lives. We see that it also affects our mind and our body. It's a part of us. We, too, would like to thank Dr. Gloria Castor as she came and as she told about and ended our discussion on loneliness. We are praying for you as you let God to be there for you and to know that you are never alone. God, so you'll never leave us or forsake us. But yet we have given you a scriptures, we have given you encouragement that you can be encouraged, that you can know that the Lord is on your side. And then we thank God for Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio as she talk about the causes of alcoholism. And I want you to just to allow God to speak to you concerning the things that you may be doing, that you know that someone, that you know your loved one, a friend, if you're concerned about them, you will you'll be able, after you've taken notes, after you've gone through tonight on this, our discussion about alcoholism, you can keep a person from injuring themselves. You can keep a person from getting in an accident because of the fact they're under the influence of some kind of drug. But we want you to know that God, He is, and that God, He always will be with you if you just allow Him to lead and to direct your path. We want you, before we go into our prayer tonight, we want you to be with us tonight at 9:30, channel 99, and Dr. Fine, Dr. Myself, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, we will be on that cable station at 9:30, and we want you to join us as God has given us a word for His people of this new year and encouragement. So also, we just want to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You, we praise You. God, we magnify Your name. God, we lift Your name up high. We give You all of the praise and glory and honor. We thank You, God, for being the King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank You, God, for allowing, God, the thousands upon thousands of people, Lord God, that have just tuned in today to hear, God, what You have given them today about loneliness and about alcoholism, God. And we thank You, God, for even those thousands upon thousands that's going to be listening to this broadcast after today, that they too will be educated, that they will come and do knowledge of what You will have them to do. God, that they'll know that wine is not really good for them and that alcohol is not really good for them. God, any form of drugs or anything that's not according to Your will, that's going to take their mind, and God will cause them, God, to do things that they wouldn't normally do. God, I pray, God, even now that You will touch them, that You will cause a difference in their lives. Father, I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, for those that are saved, those do not know You, God, as the Lord of Savior and Savior, I pray today that this day be a day of change. God, a day of conviction. God, that they'll know just how much You love them and how much You care for them for allowing us to come on this broadcast to talk about alcoholism and to talk about being lonely. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name, God, that You would touch them right now. And God, if any and those that are listening to us today, if they're not saved, if they don't know You as their Lord and Savior, if they don't know You, God, as the King of kings and Lord of lords, if they don't know You as being the Alpha and Omega, God, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, if sin in their lives, I pray, God, that, Lord God, that they will ask You to forgive them for their sins, to come into their heart, and to save them. God, I believe, God, in the name of Jesus, that there are many out there, God, that they were looking for an answer. And God, there is no today, after this broadcast, God, that You are the answer, Father, for what they need on today and every day. We just want to thank You, Lord God, for touching them and for enduring them with power and knowing, God, that they have a living Savior that is concerned about them. We thank You in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We would like to invite you to join us on next Monday at the same time to the Crossroad broadcast as we again come and give you information that's going to be able to bring deliverance in your life. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, Dr. Gloria Castor, Dr. Rosemary Lucio, and Dr. June Neuromio. At this time, may the peace of God be with you now and forever.